All right. Again, good morning, everyone. Bless your heart. Thank you for packing the parachutes in all of our lives. I think that's just such a great, great story. For those of you who didn't hear it on the recording, then you can, I think, go online and look for an article entitled "Who's Packing Your Parachute." I also want to read another short story. And this one's entitled 7 Miles for Me. Leaving a store, I returned to my car only to find that I'd locked my keys and cell phone inside. A teenager riding his bike saw me kick a tire and say a few choice words. "What's wrong?" he asked. I explained my situation. "But even if I could call my wife," I said, "she can't bring me her car key. This is our only car." He handed me his cell phone. "Go ahead, call your wife, tell her I'm coming to get her key." I said, "That's 7 miles round trip." He said, "Don't worry about it." An hour later, he returned with the key. I offered him some money, but he refused. "Let's just say I needed the exercise," he said. Then, like a cowboy in the movies, he rode off into the sunset. Just got to ask you a quick question, guys. Do you believe Jesus Christ was a kind man?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think that Jesus said that the things that I do, these are the things that the Father has directed me to do. And I only do those things which God has directed me to do. And so I think it begs to ask the question, is God kind? We get so consumed many times with all these things that sort of make us want to think a different way, you know. And so I want to ask this question: has anyone ever paid for your meal? Have you ever bought coffee or food for someone behind you in the Starbucks line? That's all actually called paying it backwards. Has your heart been moved to reach out to somebody in the grocery line ever? How about a homeless person? Can you think of a time when someone somewhere showed you a random act of kindness? Are you skilled at being creative to practice kindness? So these questions and others have prompted the title of this sharing this morning, which I've called Paying It Forward. I want to take your Bibles, please, and go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1. And this is a record following the death of Saul and his sons in battle. And it was a really interesting thing that occurred. So I'll give you a moment there. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and following. It says, "Now David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' And he said, 'At your service.' Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone at the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?' And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.' So the king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lo Debar.' Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lo Debar. And when Mephibosheth, I'm going to say that only a couple times here, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and he prostrated himself. And David said, 'Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'Here is your servant.' So David said to him, 'Don't fear, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake and restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.' Then he bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?'" He was kind of rejecting the kindness of David. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. You know, maybe you've read that record in the past. I'm sure some of you are familiar with it. And so we could maybe easily pass over it as being, oh, that's a nice little story. That was nice of David to do that. But you know what? There's more going on here than that. You know, I think God really intends it as a great lesson to us on our responsibility to perform acts of kindness. You know, kindness has always been looked at as kind of a weakness. You know, if you're kind to others, then you're showing some sort of vulnerability that you don't want people to see. And that's a very worldly trait. I mean, I see in Romans 12, 2, where it says that we be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, if Jesus was kind, actually in Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, kindness. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to go through the Word and look and see how many times that word is used or the characteristics of God. God is trying to proclaim how kind he really is. You know, and also this record, I think, teaches us a lot about David's heart and why he was really, truly beloved of God. A little history there. Saul and three of his four sons had been killed in battle on Mount Gilboa. A fourth son survived only to be assassinated, ending an attempt to set up a rival kingdom. All that remained of the once high and proud house of Saul were some daughters and some sons by a concubine. Meanwhile, David prospered as he consolidated his kingdom by gaining victories everywhere he went. But yet, despite David's high status and his wealth, he did not forget his and Jonathan's oath or their love for each other when David was the lowly shepherd and Jonathan was heir to the throne. The story gives no indication that anyone prompted David's inquiry. The request came from his own heart, motivated by his faithfulness to his friend and his caring nature. You know, this even seems more remarkable when you look at his undeserved persecutions at Saul's hand. You know, he was Saul's enemy. Saul was trying to chase him down and kill him. And Saul, as he grew older, became increasingly more crazy from jealousy about David's popularity. You remember this? David could have easily been bitter from having been forced into living the life of a vagabond, dwelling in caves, existing on the generosity of others while he was doing good for Israel. You know, he could have easily held a grudge in order to feel justified in retaliating or spat curses against any of Saul's heirs. Besides, it was the way of Eastern kings to kill off any potential claimants to the throne. But instead, what came welling up in David's heart was a spontaneous and a self-motivated desire to do good to any remain of Saul's house. You know, David's statement reveals that he was constrained to use God's kindness as the pattern for what he wanted to do for Saul's house. He recognized that he, like all of us, had received undeserved mercy and kindness from the hand of God. It is if God is saying that before we can pass on his kindness, we must first recognize that we have received it from him. You know, David's touching example of kindness reveals that he felt responsible to be merciful and kind because God had been exceedingly merciful and kind to him by forgiving much and giving much. He's a great example of one who loved much because he recognized that God loved him. You know, the best basis for any type of kindly service to man is experiencing God's mercy. Maybe it can be said that long before a person can be truly merciful, God has been merciful to him. A great man once said, "We don't have any problem forgiving others when we remember what God has forgiven us for." You know, and perhaps a conclusion can be drawn that we have not necessarily shown our brothers or sisters in the body of Christ all the kindness that we indeed owe them unless we have shown them the kindness of God. You know, I believe it's in Romans where it says, "Owe no man anything except that we extend love." I thought Ken just did a great sharing here on Thursday. A lot of things he touched on. One of the big points he made, I do believe, was about the love of God. And he mentioned in his closing comments something that's going to be happening for all of eternity. And that would be God would be showing his kindness throughout eternity, especially for us who have believed. So would you say David was paying it forward? David had received grace and mercy and kindness in his life. You know what? He took a great opportunity to do what I call pay it forward. You remember a record in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what we would call maybe the chapter on love? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. You know, Paul tells us, love is kind. And it means to be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. You know, when agape love, the love of God, is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Instead, agape love makes you want to bend over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. Oh, my gosh. Think of Jesus when I'm saying this. He's the perfect example. This is exactly the lifestyle he lived. Every characteristic, everything that we talk about with the love of God, this is Jesus. You know, the word kind, it portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. This sounds like Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be on you, which was also in Christ Jesus, looking not on your own stuff, but on the needs of others. This is so different from the worldly standard of take care of number one. You know, it's me first and then others. That type of thinking is completely opposite of selfishness and self-centeredness. And yet that's the world wants to squeeze us into that mold. So, you know, when Paul writes that love is kind, maybe we could look at it more in an expanded way that says love doesn't demand others to be like itself. It is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. You know, true agape love, the love of God, it doesn't think of itself first. It is always reaching out, thinking and focusing primarily on the needs of others. The person walking in agape love, the love of God, adapts to those around him in order to touch them, help them, and impact them in a meaningful way. Does that sound like paying it forward? Paying it forward, where we realize the mercy, the grace, the love, the forgiveness that we walk in from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. That verse that Ken shared on Thursday was in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Really something. And it says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Wow. In the ages to come, he might show these. You know what? And also, I think he's attempting to show it to us now. Not that we have to wait. God is trying to get this through to us now. But boy, we got a great hope. We got a great future. And in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and his kindness. You know, we're going to be experiencing his kindness for eternity. Why not start now? Not just receiving and understanding, but applying, walking. In Isaiah chapter 54, there's a great verse I'd like to share with you. Isaiah 54, verse 10. I'll give you the moment to get there. Don't you just love God's word? Don't you love God?
Yes.
It's just the only absolute and solid thing there is in life. Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. My kindness, it's not going to go away. You can see records that describe God's kindness all the way back in Genesis and all the way through. I think it's something God has tried to get across, but the enemy is trying to do something else. Well, forget the enemy. God is good and God is kind. You know, and it's only when we choose to believe that God is kind we will be able to show kindness to others. Frustration and fear, they dissolve from our hearts, and we can and will treat others like God has treated us. Amen? You know, there's a great poem that we've read over the years. It's called Do It Now. Mm-hmm. If with pleasure you are viewing any work a man is doing, if you like him or you love him, tell him now. Don't withhold your approbation till the parson makes oration and he lies with snowy lilies on his brow. No matter how you shout it, he won't really care about it. He won't know how many teardrops you have shed. If you think some praises due him, now's the time to slip it to him, for he can't read his tombstone when he's dead. More than fame and more than money is the comment kind and sunny, and the hearty warm approval of a friend. For it gives to life a savor, and it makes you stronger, braver, and it gives you heart and spirit to the end. If he earned your praise, bestow it. If you like him, let him know it. Let the words of true encouragement be said. Do not wait until life is over, till he's underneath the clover, for he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead.
Of the mercies I have known, I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, for God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
Amen. God has been so good. You know, in Romans it says the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. Not the severity of God, not all the hardness. And I guess it'd just be inappropriate for me to not leave you with a few practical ways to begin practicing kindness. You know, it's nice to say, oh yeah, yeah, Barney, that's good. Let's be kind to one another. Well, what does that mean? And so there have got to be practical ways to be kind. And so I'm going to post on the website, along with this teaching, 50 fun kindness ideas. I'm going to give you a few right here, but you can look at them later. And then you can think up your own list or think of other things, and I'm sure you're already doing things. How about posting inspirational sticky notes around your neighborhood or your office or your school? How about saying hi to the person next to you on the elevator? How about surprising a neighbor with freshly baked cookies or treats? How about letting somebody go in front of you in the line who only has a few items? How about leave a gas gift card at a gas pump? How about leaving quarters at the laundromat? How about encounter someone in customer service who is especially kind and take an extra 5 minutes to tell their manager? How about leaving unused coupons next to corresponding products in the grocery store? How to try to make sure every person in a group conversation feels included? How about writing a kind message on your mirror with a dry eraser marker for yourself, your significant other, or another family member? This one I thought was really interesting. Place a positive body image note in jean pockets at a department store. How about smiling at five strangers? Set an alarm on your phone to go off at three different times during the day, and in those moments, do something kind for someone else. There's a lot of ideas if we put our heart and mind into it. We begin to think about it. How about preparing a meal for someone who you know is in a tough situation? Our neighbor over here across the street, she's 80-something years old. She's taking care of her mother. She's 105 years old. And I thought about that today, you know, and we've done things in the past, but I thought, you know, it'd be so great just to take a meal over there because she's gone most of the time. And this one's for you, Pete. Write a gratitude list in the morning and again in the evening. How about if you know some parents who could use a night out, how about offering to babysit for free? And while you're out, Vicky's really good at this, while you're out, compliment a parent on how well-behaved their child is. The list goes on and on and on. And like I said, I randomly picked out this one list of 50. But it kind of gets the juices flowing. It kind of gets you moving in the right direction to think outside of your own set of circumstances, because we know love is giving. It's getting outside of ourselves. And who knows what kind of doors that could open as we just freely extend the love of God. We don't put conditions on it. You know, I'll love them if they respond to the word, if they come to fellowship. That's not the deal there. That's not the deal. Love gives without any strings attached. That's the beauty of it. I just think that's so awesome. See? So I've just enjoyed sharing this topic and telling you all a few stories. In closing, I'm going to read one more. It's called My Grandmother's Dress. You know, I saw a dress in a consignment shop that me and my granddaughter would just love. But money was tight, so I asked the store owner if she could hold it for me. May I buy the dress for you? Asked another customer. Oh, thank you, but I can't accept such a gracious gift, I said. And then she told me why it was so important for her to help me. She'd been homeless for 3 years, she said. And had it not been for the kindness of strangers, she would not have been able to survive. I'm no longer homeless, and my situation has improved, she said. I promised myself I would pay the kindness so many have shown me. She paid for the dress, and the only payment she would accept in return was a heartfelt hug. Amen? All right, God, you're so amazing. You're kind, you're good, and somehow, Father, you'll give us opportunities to share your goodness and kindness and love with others in whatever ways we can. And be kind to ourselves, too. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.